Welcome to the M&A Zing, the podcast for acquisition entrepreneurs, search funders, and anyone building a portfolio of SMB real-world businesses in the UK and beyond. Today's episode is a little bit different. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see that I'm here alone. So for anybody listening, it is just me this week. No guests, no co-hosts, just you and me having a proper chat about one of the most important and often misunderstood parts of buying a business, outreach. So if you've ever sat there staring at a spreadsheet of companies thinking, okay, what now? This episode is for you. We're going to talk about how you actually get in touch with business owners, the kind of cold outreach that turns research into conversations and turning conversations into deals. I'll walk you through how to do it the hard way, manually, because that's how I started. It's how lots of people started. The inbox warm-ups, the mail mergers, the letters, the DNS records, all the stuff that people struggle with at first. And then I will show you a little bit later on how BizCrunch simplifies all of that. Now, at this point, it is a good juncture for me to say this episode is not an ad for BizCrunch. I'm sure most, if not everybody listening, knows that the M&A Zing is brought to you by the BizCrunch team, and we have a purpose-built platform for finding, reaching out to, tracking, and everything else you need to do to begin your acquisition journey. But there are other ways of doing it. And I think that even if you are using BizCrunch, a solid understanding of how all of these processes work and fit together, the warm-ups, the merges, the letters, the DNS, the mailboxes, copywriting, all of these things are important process. Even if we're helping you to get there a little bit quicker, I think it's all important to know. At this point, again, it's important for me to note that lots of people will be at different stages when it comes to cold outreach. Different people have different levels of understanding. If you are a cold outreach pro and you just want to know a bit more about inbox warm-ups or copywriting specific for, you know, M&A off-market outreach, I will add timestamps to this video or to this recording, and you can skip ahead to the part that is most important to you and maybe bookmark there and come back to it when you need it. Obviously, I would love for everybody to stay with me for the whole podcast and listen to me talk about my specialist subject. But I do demos for BizCrunch every single day, and I speak to lots of people that have different levels of, you know, technical competency, experience with cold outreach, experience with M&A cold outreach. So I understand that you need to tailor these conversations to individuals, which is hard for me to do on a podcast. So I'm going to be very clear about, you know, sections, little pockets of information, timestamping those so that you can get what you need from me. Okay, so this isn't a sales pitch, it's a field guide. It's a hands dirty, here's how you do it kind of episode. So whether you're sending your first cold email or trying to scale a search process that already works, you will get something out of this podcast. So let's start with the obvious question. Why does outreach matter so much in acquisitions? You'd be surprised how many people think the hard part is finding businesses, like it's all about the data. And there are easier and harder ways of doing that, and we will touch on that in the next section. But you know, finding a company on Companies House or producing a spreadsheet can be relatively easy. Getting the owner to talk to you is the hardest work. Okay, so most owners, especially the good ones, they aren't actively looking to sell. They're not on a marketplace. They're not answering random phone calls. They are very busy. They have a lot to do. They perhaps have thought about selling in the back of their mind somewhere, you know, especially if it's a retiring owner and they know that, you know, they're coming up to retirement age, whatever it might be. But if they aren't listed for sale somewhere, and a lot of the best businesses aren't, you have to earn the right to a conversation with this person. And that's where cold outreach comes in. It's the bridge between research and opportunity. And if you do it well, it will give you deal flow that nobody else has access to. And that is ultra important. It is hard to be fighting over the same listings with multiple other acquisition entrepreneurs. ETA is on the rise in the UK and in Europe. Lots more people are coming to the table. Like I said, I speak to people every single day. There are new search funds popping up. There are new searchers. There are people graduating from MBAs. There are people, you know, going on some of the M&A courses. You know, they're in more competition all the time. And this proprietary search for off-market deals combined with good cold outreach is what is going to give you the edge over everybody else. This is what's going to make you stand out. This is why at BizCrunch, we lean so heavily towards the off-market side of things, because we know that's where the real gems are to be found. But you will not master off-market until you master cold outreach. Outreach begins with list building. Okay, so if you're hoping to just get straight into, you know, how you write an email and how you build an outreach campaign, that's going to come a little bit later, because step one, your outreach is only as good as your list. Now, there are a couple of different ways to build lists. There is the old school way, so no fancy tools, no platforms, just your laptop and some hard work. And there are platforms and tools, including BizCrunch, that can make this easier for you. No matter what you do, the important thing is to be specific about your criteria from day one. So revenue range, geography, sector, number of employees, owner age, whatever it is, even if you're doing this manually, which will take a bit longer, but is cheaper, focus list is always better than a bloated one. Okay, so if you don't have a thesis or some theses, you know, a couple of different types of companies that you look for, something to ground this search in, that's where you need to begin. Now, hopefully, if you're watching or listening to this episode, you already have that. And that's going to make this all the easier because that's where your search is going to start. Now, if you don't want to invest in a search tool, then you can do this for free with public data. So Companies House is a great place to look. You know, it's useful, it's free, it's public. It's also a bit of a jungle. So, you know, there's no filtering. Financials can be hard to sort of decipher or get to. It's hard to tell the difference between a sort of viable target sometimes and a non-viable one. You know, other common approaches include Google searches. You know, I'm looking for engineering firms in the Midlands, and that may produce a list of companies. You can use Google Maps, and any company that's listed in, that's put their own listing on Google Maps will be listed there. Trade directories, association member lists, LinkedIn, local newspapers, regional business awards. There is a wealth of data online about companies at the moment. We've never had a better landscape for data discovery on businesses than we have right now. With that said, the real work here is going to come in cleaning those listings up, you know, cross-referencing data, cross-referencing names, addresses, directors, turnover, finding email addresses that are the director's email addresses, not just info at company name that is going to go through three people at the company and a couple of gatekeepers and possibly never make it to the owner, the person that you need to talk to. That's going to be messy and time consuming, but it is possible. So I'm not going to sit here and say that you need to pay for you know, a platform or a tool to do that for you. The data is out there. If you are cash poor but time rich, that's the option for you. And I don't discourage you from doing that. I really respect the hustle. When it comes to using a platform, there are a number of different ways of doing this. There are a couple of very expensive, very powerful tools like your Bureau van Dijk and your Moody's tools, you know, Fame. And they are excellent at what they do, probably best suited to, you know, the upper echelons of M&A, the sort of 20 mil plus deals and company valuations, and their price reflects that essentially. What we've done at BizCrunch is try to aim at that mid-market and really help people in that underserved section of, you know, the 1 to 15 million valuation businesses, where the data can be a little bit harder to find. And also, given the deal size, you know, spending 12 grand a year on a basic level package to find the data on those companies isn't really viable. It's going to eat too much into your search fund or, you know, the money that you've raised to go out there and buy. If BizCrunch kind of sits in between the manual outreach and the more expensive tools, towards the manual outreach end, there are some tools that you can use that are excellent at what they do. So you think about your, you know, Endol and Red Flag and all those other types of tools that are made for credit referencing. They are excellent credit referencing tools and they have lots of business data on there. You won't get all of the functionality that you get from a Fame. You won't get all the business data that you'll get from a BizCrunch, but you will get enough that's going to save you a fair few man hours away from, you know, your Google searching your trade addresses, and there is some filtering available on there, but there is still going to be some work needed to clean that list up. Okay, so again, this is another middle ground between a tool that is built for purpose, a tool that is built for a much more expensive purpose, and a bit of DIY. This is up to your appetite. I'm not going to sit here and say BizCrunch is the only way to do it, because you know that that isn't true. And I want to help you do this the way that suits your time, your appetite, and your budget best. Once you've chosen a tool, you've added your filters and you've built your list, you've cleaned it up and you've made sure that these are the people you want to reach out to, we can start to get into the bones of the cold outreach campaign. Now, I'm just going to say one more time before we get into this, your list, the strength of your list is going to dictate the strength of your campaign. So please ensure that you have contact information that is accurate, email addresses that go through to the right person, letters that go through to perhaps trading addresses tend to have a better response than just registered addresses. And we can touch on that in the letter section. I want you to go into this with as much firepower as you can possibly have. Please do your prep work. It's going to serve you so well before we get into this next section, which is the beginnings of setting up your cold outreach campaigns. Now you've got your target list, it's time to send some emails, right? Not so fast. If you send 200 emails from your personal Gmail account, you're going to tank your deliverability, trigger spam filters, and maybe even get yourself blacklisted. Here's how to set up your cold email system properly. 1, buy a new domain. 2, set up dedicated inboxes for your outreach. 3, configure your DNS records properly, SPF, DKIM, and DMARC. 4, use a warm-up tool for 2 to 3 weeks to build some domain reputation. And then 5, limit your sending first. So send sort of 30 to 50 emails per inbox per day. Now, let me explain some of those in a little bit more information. And I'm going to link to some guides for some of these because I could talk about DNS records for half an hour and nobody wants that. So the reason we are buying a new domain is you do not want to send your cold outreach campaigns from the domain mailbox that you're using on a regular basis to run your business, to speak to customers, to speak to suppliers, to talk to your staff, whatever it might be. You want to separate the two things out. If you did have a high number of bounces, if you did have a particularly grumpy seller that you spoke to who reported your email address because they particularly hate cold email. It happens. Some people really hate cold emails and misunderstand the way the GDPR rules work, which we'll touch on a little bit later. And if that happens and your deliverability score tanks and your domain gets blacklisted, which is a real thing, and it does happen, that's going to affect your livelihood in all other ways. It's going to affect the way that your emails reach your suppliers and your customers and whatever it might be. And you absolutely do not want that. So the reason we buy a new domain is that we're going to create a new mailbox that looks similar to your existing company website, if you like. And there's a couple of different options for doing that. You're going to set up a dedicated inbox for that. And now you can set up forwarding so it goes to where you normally receive your emails. That's absolutely fine. So you don't have to read multiple different inboxes. But it's a separate place for those emails to be sent from and received to, so that it doesn't interfere with your everyday business practices. Now, DNS records. I will link to some guides to help you with this. And again, depending on what platforms and what tools you use, there can be more complicated, less complicated ways of getting this done. But let's talk about what DNS is and why it's important. DNS records are text stored bits, pieces of information that are communicated between an email domain, an IP, a server. And essentially what they do is they authenticate the sender and they help prevent emails from being marked as spam. As a basis. And if you don't want to know any more about DNS, you can skip ahead. But specifically, the SPF, DKIM and DMARC, they are essential for verifying that emails originate within an authorized server and haven't been tampered with, ensuring they reach the intended inbox. So without proper DNS, it is extremely likely that your emails will be flagged as spam or rejected by receiving servers. It is an important piece of the puzzle that a recipient inbox will check for before they allow an email in. If you think about a spam filter, these are one of the very basic things that any inbox is going to check, no matter how stringent they might be, and some are a lot more difficult than others. So SPF, this record tells receiving email servers which mail servers are authorized to send emails on behalf of a domain. So it's checking that the sender of that email is authorized to send that email on behalf of that domain. Okay, this is very important. It means that it hasn't been intercepting, somebody else isn't sending it on behalf of that particular company. And you can imagine why this would be a problem with email spoofing and all sorts of things like that. It ensures your emails are more likely to be accepted as legitimate. This is a baseline. DKIM stands for Domain Keys Identified Mail. And essentially, it's a digital signature that you add to your emails, essentially, and it verifies that it hasn't been altered during transit. So it was the same when it left your server and when it arrived at theirs. Again, super important. Emails haven't been tampered with en route. DMARC is domain-based message authentication, reporting, and conformance. I did have that written down. I don't remember off the top of my head. And DMARC is sort of building upon SPF and DKIM, and it allows you to specify what should happen to emails that fail authentication checks. It provides an extra layer of protection against sort of spam and phishing attacks. So maybe you didn't want to know that, but it's useful to have these pieces of information and understand why they are so important, because it's not just a hurdle that you have to jump over. These are really key ingredients to ensuring that your emails arrive in the inboxes that they should, because all of this falls apart if it doesn't even get to the inbox. That doesn't matter how good your subject line is or how great your list building was or how great your copy is that you've written. If your emails aren't even getting to the inbox, that's a problem. So make sure that stuff is set up correctly, and I will link to some guys to help you with that. So now we get on to inbox warm-up. So we created a brand new inbox, a brand new mailbox to send and receive from. At this point, it doesn't have any sender reputation with any email providers, okay? So if you set this domain up and you immediately start sending cold emails, especially at scale, from this mailbox, you're going to hit a lot of spam filters. Your deliverability will be low. You need to establish it as an existing, functional, real, and safe mailbox. So there are a couple of different ways of doing this. Generally, the way that a mailbox warms up is just by use. So when you set up your Gmail or your Outlook or whatever it might be to use for your, you know, your search fund, your whole co, your business, when you first set it up, you'd have got through a few confirmation emails from setting up different platforms and signing up to SaaS tools and paying for BizCrunch, whatever it might be. And you're going to send a couple to, you know, your co-founders or your staff or whatever it might be. And gradually over time, that volume is going to increase, and you're going to see lots of positive responses, and people are going to open your emails because they're expecting them. Because they know you, usually at the start, and you're not sending cold emails from that domain, and they're going to respond positively. And all of this stuff is tracked and measured, and you're going to build an authority. And some of these have scores associated with them, depending on, you know, what you use to check that. There are a couple of tools you can use to check the authority and the score and the blackboard status of your mailboxes. And I will link one of those as well. If you check the ones that you have. But with this brand new mailbox, we need to warm it up. And there's a couple of different ways that you could do that. So there are a couple of tools that do this specifically. So you can use something like MailReach or Warmbox. And there's a bunch of different tools out there. Just search for mailbox warm up. Sometimes if you are using a cold email outreach tool, they will have this built in. So if you're using Instantly, for example, then you can use their inbox warm-up system there. And essentially what it does is it sends a bunch of emails between you and some pre-authorized domains. And for some of them, I believe also other people who are warming their inboxes up. And it writes an email on your behalf and it sends it off, and then it accepts the email at the other end and replies positively. And it does this for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, and it tries it out in different servers and different emails. So it will say to you, you know, some will let you know if you've got a good score with Gmail and Outlook and other different, you know, servers and inboxes, and it will try a couple with links, maybe it'll try a couple with attachments and all these different things that are going to build up a score, and it's managed beginning to end by one of these platforms to give you a positive outcome. It's generally going to take at least a week, sometimes 2 to 3, depending on how aggressively they do it or how good they are at doing that warm-up process. Again, this feels like a very annoying hurdle put in place to slow you down and to make it harder for you to get to where you want to be. But it is absolutely crucial, because you need the recipient's mailbox to trust your email when it comes in. Again, we need to land in that inbox if we're going to speak to the business owner. Okay, so your tech is ready. It's time to write some actual emails. Writing outreach is very important. Crafting good copy is what's going to open the door to future conversations. This is where a lot of people fail, because they write like it's a marketing newsletter or job application. And that's not what we're doing here. You need to think about the intended recipient, the mind space that they're in when they receive that email, and how to best sort of cut through the noise and speak to the right person and get the outcome that you want. So they are a busy person. They have not listed their company for sale. They have lots of other things to think about. This is an emotional subject for a lot of people. They spent a lot of time and effort and blood, sweat and tears to get to where they are. They do not have time to sit and read War and Peace from you. they do not want to feel like you are taking them on a journey on this email. My advice to you is keep it short and sweet. Keep it concise. Use plain text. So, you know, avoid lots of links. Don't include videos in the first email message. Don't include your large multiple megapixel signature image. This is going to help you beat those spam filters too. We're going to give them a nice, concise message with a simple human CTA or call to action. So, you know, something, would you be open to a quick chat? So here's a simple framework that I like, and I will write this down in the show notes for you. I like to use why them, why now, and what do you want? So why them, show that you selected them for a reason. You know, why are you in this person's inbox? That's their first question. That's your first question when you open a cold email, isn't it? Why is this person in my bloody inbox? Well, okay, explain that to them right off the bat. Why now? Is there a moment or a context that makes this relevant? Why should they deal with this right now? Why are you contacting them right now? That's the next question that they're going to have. Third, what do you want? Again, pretty high on the list of questions you ask when you receive a cold email, so it should be pretty high on the questions that you answer when you send one. What you want is a conversation, not a transaction. You are not trying to buy their business in this email. You are trying to open the door to have a chat with this person. The fourth optional step is who you are. So if you want to build some credibility, keep it low ego. But again, I don't think you necessarily need to do that in this first email. If you don't want to, you can do. It's just going to add a little bit more complication to the process. Sometimes it is important to cut through the noise, especially if you feel like these are companies that have been contacted a lot. So if you feel like that's important to your particular industry or niche, or if you start to send the three-step emails and you're not getting the responses you want, you can play around with kind of flexing that part in and out. So, you know, how long you spent in industry while you're the right person to buy this company. Again, keep it short but sweet. I have a real short, simple example here that I would send as an initial cold email to a seller if I was engaging in a search. Hi, Jane. I came across your business while researching construction firms in the Southwest. Looks like you've built something solid over the last 20 plus years. I'm currently looking to acquire and operate a business like yours and wondered if you ever considered taking a step back or exploring options. Would you be open to a short, no pressure chat? And that's it. So we've established why them. So you're in Jane's inbox. Why are you in Jane's inbox? Well, you were looking for construction firms in the Southwest and Jane's built a pretty good one over the last 20 years. Also, a little bit of flattery never hurt. Why now? Well, you're currently looking to acquire and operate a business just like Jane's. Also, you've kind of answered that in the 20 plus years. So Jane's been at this a while. Maybe Jane would be open to another option. So why then? Why now? Answered. Now, a very simple, what do you want? A short, no pressure chat. Now, this is going to go one or two ways with Jane. Jane's either going to go, I'm not interested in this at all, or there's going to be an inkling in there. There's going to be something in there that's going to make Jane feel like maybe this is something that she should do. And she might not respond straight away. She might save the email and come back to it at a later date. But you've opened the door to a conversation. You've also opened the door to a second email. And in that second email, we can include more information. Maybe we could build the credibility there if you didn't want to do it in that first email. Maybe at that point, you could send, you know, a link to a video or whatever it might be that you want to kind of strengthen your case and follow up with. But this initial email, short and sweet. Why then? Why now? What do you want? No pitch, no fluff. It's a door opener. That's what we're here to do. Once we've sent that initial email, I would always, always advise follow-up. Send two, send three. Usually I would say at least three, you know, maybe in combination with a letter, which is something that we can touch on. It works particularly well for retiring owners, we found at BizCrunch. Nobody replies to the first email. Very few people reply to the first email. Usually you get a response on email two or email three. People need a couple of touch points. They need to be contacted a few times. This might not be the right moment for Jane. She might need to come back to it later. They might need to see your name a few times. You know, these are real psychological, important processes that have been noted over many, many years of cold outreach that, you know, they need to build a bit of familiarity. They need to realize who you are. Very few people are going to respond to that initial email and say, hey, I'm ready to go. If anything else, you're just kind of staying front of mind. I know, you know, from my own personal experience, if I receive a cold email, and if it's something that I need, but I don't need it right now, I might snooze that email. I might try and leave it on unread so I come back to it. And then a bunch of other things come in and you get busy and it happens to all of us. Okay. Inbox avalanche every single day. So maybe Jane does want to talk to you about selling her business to you, but not right now. And in 2-3 days time, she's forgotten or can't find you in the deluge of emails that she's had. So then you pop in with another email and you keep it again, you know, not overly wordy, but you can give a little bit more information. You can start to build your pitch to Jane. And then again, I would follow up again, maybe a week later, and, you know, give one final stop in. Hey, Jane, I'm not going to keep pestering you about this. But if you are interested, please let me know. If you're not, also let me know and I'll take you off my list and I won't contact you again. Hope all is well. Whatever it might be. Once you've established that first email, stay in touch a couple of times before you completely give up. Okay, nobody's ready on that first email, or very rarely. Okay, so we have a domain and we've done all of our DNS records and we're all set up there. How are we actually going to send these emails? So there's a couple of different ways of doing this. You can, again, do this manually and you can produce a list and you can copy and paste one email address at a time and one message at a time and one business owner's name at a time. And that is an extremely valid way of doing things. But again, it's going to be slow and it's going to be messy. And especially if you want to work at scale, you know, if you're sending 20 emails a week, that's fine. You're probably not going to get the results that you want with off-market outreach from doing that. But fine, you don't need a full stack. If you're sending 500 a week or a month, you absolutely do. So there's a couple of different ways of doing this. And I will talk to you about paid for ways and I'll talk to you about free or cheap ways of doing this too. Again, not everyone wants to allocate their budget to platforms and tools. So if you're using Gmail, you can build a mail merge plugin using Google Sheets. And I've used this to great effect many times. You can create a draft email in Google Mail, and you can put all of the columns that you need. So email, recipient's first name, surname, business, all the little parameters that you pull through into a cold email into that Google Sheet, and you can build a mail merge that works between the two. That's something that exists, and I'll give you a link to doing that. It's free, it's quick, it's simple. It isn't without its flaws. You know, nothing free is. It can be complicated to do, and it does require, again, the manual list building stuff. But that is an option that you can use if you want to. You're going to have some issues with tracking. You're going to not be able to, you know, track clicks and opens and bounces and all those kind of things are going to be much harder for you to do. And again, once you're operating at scale, that's going to become a bigger issue for you. But if you're sending 100 emails a month, maybe that will work. And if you don't mind having a bit of a blind spot into what's happening with those emails, absolutely fine. If you want to use a cold emailing platform, so if you want to go and pay for an Apollo or an Instantly, great. Those are going to have lots of tools to help you build your campaigns. They're going to help you with the multi-step campaigns that we will touch on when we get to content. So sending multiple, you know, follow-ups. They're going to help you with tracking. It's going to help you with data cleanup sometimes. There are lots of different tools out there for you to use. If there's something that you're already using, fine, please go ahead and work with that. If you are looking to pay for a service to create your list and pay for a service to send your mail merges, at this point, I will plug BizCrunch, because what you will find is where we have everything in-house and we do everything in one place, it's not only quicker and easier, and you don't need to do all that DNS setup stuff because we do that for you and we set up the domain and all those tricky bits I've talked about already. You can forget that, it's done. And it's also going to work out a better value for you because we just do everything in one place. So we save you some time and some time cost there. But again, that's not the only way to do this. And if you do want to combine, you know, another search platform, clean the data up yourself, put it in the correct columns, and then upload it to a cold email outreach tool, and then track the results of this somewhere else in a CRM, you're more than welcome to do so. And it absolutely does work. There are lots of great tools out. There are also some great tools when it comes to sending letters. So BizCrunch will send emails and letters, but you can also use Stamp, S-T-A-N-M-P, Postalytics, ClickSend. There are a couple of different ways out there that you can do mass letter sending to business owners. Letters work incredibly well for retiring owners. I've actually found from outreach that we've done for our customers on our concierge service that the combination of emails and letters together is brilliant. You know, if they get an email from you and they see your name for the first time and then they get a letter and they get that kind of, you know, tactile letter in their hands with your name on it, and you've got your signature on there, and then they get a follow-up email, you know, a week later. That seems to be a sort of magic sequence. You know, it's all about those touch points. So There are a bunch of different tools out there, and I will link to the Google Sheet and Gmail plugin for those of you that are trying to be thrifty and do your outreach on a budget. Okay, so now we have a domain. We've set up our DNS records. We've picked a tool. We've built our list. We've got all the data in place. We've written our emails, and we are potentially also ready to start sending letters. And what is the last thing that we think about before we start to send all of this stuff out? The legality and the ethics of all of this. So this is one last bit that I want to touch on before we wrap up, and it is all important. There is a legal and ethical side to cold outreach. However, in B2B, it's slightly different. So in the UK, we have GDPR and PECR. PECR, not as many people know about, but it's a supplement to GDPR, and it's there for consumer protection, essentially. And it's really there to protect individuals from mass outreach, unsolicited mass outreach from companies. However, if you are sending a business-to-business cold outreach email or letter, and you have just cause for doing so, there is a benefit or a potential benefit to the recipient. You are allowed to do this. So you need to ensure that the business is a limited company and not a sole trader. So there's slightly different rules around sole traders, but limited companies fall outside of the GDPR, PECR rules for individual consumers. You need to ensure that your message is relevant to their role. This is the exact language from the GDPR rulings. So relevant to their role, they are a business owner. You want to buy their business. It's pretty bloody relevant. You offer a clear way to opt out. So they can unsubscribe, or that they can reply to you and say that they're not interested. As long as you meet these parameters, so limited company, relevance, a way to opt out, you are fine legally to send cold outreach. That covers business email addresses, and it covers business addresses. It does not cover personal email addresses or personal addresses. So at BizCrunch, we will give you business emails, and I will give you register addresses and trading addresses, but I will not give you PSC addresses, because very often PSC addresses are home addresses, and we looked into this, and it is a GDPR violation, so we do not provide that. So please do not go onto company's house and find somebody's home address if it is listed as their officer's address or PSC address or whatever it might be, send them letters there. I cannot advise that you do that. That is a violation of GDPR. Likewise, with scraping and finding personal emails, there are some nefarious tools out there that will help you not only with business email addresses, but they will help you find personal emails for anybody on, you know, LinkedIn or whatever other site that you may be searching on. Those also fall outside of the remit of legality for GDPR and PECR. So please do not send to personal email addresses and personal addresses. If you are sending to business addresses, both email and letter, you're fine legally. Keep it relevant. Give them a way to opt out. Now I'm going to show you how you can do everything we've just covered quickly, cleanly, and easily using BizCrunch. This is the only real plug for BizCrunch on this episode. And if you've seen this before, you can skip this part. But if you haven't, we're going to make this outreach portion so quick and easy for you. So here we are at this Discover Your Next Deal, and you're going to enter the location that you're searching within, the industry that you're searching for, the revenue range, which includes the estimated revenue for those companies that turn over less than 10 mil that don't report it. And you can narrow this just down using whether they're a leverageable company, low debt to asset ratio, they're profitable, they're established, you know, been around more than 15 years, they've got a retiring owner, simple ownership. We can filter by companies with PSC email addresses. We can filter by, you know, anything particular on the balance sheet and the P&L. We can filter by different ownership structures. And there are all sorts of things we can do to build a list of companies that are the right list of companies for you. Once you've built your list, it will look something like this. And you can go through and decide whether these are the right companies for you. And we can do a little bit more of a dive into the companies here. We've got this little CMOR pop-out. We can look at company insights, where we've got a summary, and we can look at the shareholder distribution. And we can look at the company's website and their revenue trends and their profit trends and their assets and liabilities and net asset value trend and all this excellent data that you might want before you perform your outreach. And once you're happy that these are the people you want to reach out to, you're going to save them to a collection. A collection is essentially a list. And then you can create a new collection here. And we would call this Outreach Podcast, and it's going to store all of the companies in this collection, and you can go through and do a little bit more vetting from there if you wish to. That's the list building portion of it done. Again, you're matching your ICP to our filters. Now we're going to start a campaign. Let's do emails and letters. Why not? While we're here, We're going to select the collection that we're going to do the outreach to. So let's pick our collection from here, and then we're going to move on to the next step. We're going to set up our customizations, which are essentially just your return contact information details. So what's the name of your hold code? What's your phone number? What's your website? What's your return address details? Remember, we're going to send some cold outreach, so we want them to be able to get back in touch with us. We will give you a step here to provide us with the domain that you would like. We will create that domain for you, and we will start a warm-up process in the background that will warm that inbox up for you. Again, another tool that you don't have to pay for, another thing you don't have to worry about. No DNS settings, nothing. We do all of that for you. Then you're going to edit your email here. You're going to play around with some of the parameters. You're going to edit your follow-up emails. Once you're happy with your copy, you can go to the next step and do the same thing with your letters. And you can edit your letter information here. We provide you with the template, but I always advise that you edit it. You can pull through some personalization parameters, preview your letter once you're happy. And then you get to the summary stage and you ensure that you have the right number of recipients and it's within your quota and you've got the right plan for it. And then you're going to hit start campaign and it will send for you. And all of those complicated things we just covered, you don't need to worry about so much other than good email copywriting. With that said, it is important for you to know all of these and understand that's what BizCrunch is doing for you in the background so that you can send the emails with confidence. And that, in a very long nutshell, is how to do cold outreach for SMB M&A. If there is anything in here that you would like to know a little bit more about, if you have any questions, something that I haven't answered, something that I went over too quickly, something I didn't explain in full, please do leave us a comment on LinkedIn, on the YouTube video, or send me an email, get in touch with me on LinkedIn, whatever it might be. I'll leave some contact details at the bottom of this pod, and you can get in touch with me anytime. This is my specialist subject, and I'm more than happy to talk through it with you and show you how BizCrunch can help you. And you know what, even if you're not going to use BizCrunch, I'm happy to answer some questions because we are all about empowering the ETA community. And like I said, this is a really important step in ensuring that you can go out there and acquire companies, and that's good for the economy, it's good for ETA, and it's good for BizCrunch. So I will leave that there. I hope that's been useful for you. And until next time, keep on crunching.